The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Mel and Natalie Schindler from Kent, Ohio are joining me on the podcast today. I wanted to bring Mel and Natalie on for a couple reasons. Number one, they're just regular people. They're not trying to build a portfolio of 500 rental properties. They're happy with just a handful of rentals, and I actually think that's really cool, and I think it's something really anybody can do. The other reason I wanted to bring them on is they're doing a really good job of managing their portfolio. They treat it like a real business. They're doing a great job with screening tenants and with their turnovers and just managing the day-to-day. So I want to learn more about exactly what they're doing. I think we can all pick up a couple of things from them. We will get into it. We'll go into the numbers and hear everything else that they're doing in just 30 seconds.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's noradarealestate.com/guide.
Mel, let me start with you. How did you and Natalie get started buying rental properties?
I had rental property when I was younger, and it didn't go so well for me. Number one, discipline when I was younger. Number two, it was a very high maintenance property, and I ended up selling it and kind of took a little thrashing on it. And through the years, I've always kind of wanted to get back into it. And when the housing prices were down, we decided to jump in.
What I appreciate about what you guys are doing is you're not trying to build a huge portfolio. You're not trying to quit your job tomorrow to live off the rental income. You're not necessarily trying to be millionaires tomorrow. You're happy with a smaller portfolio.
As we had talked about in the past, Dan, is that we kind of wanted to have this discussion so that if there's people out there that are a little bit intimidated by these people with the 100 deals in 100 months and $1 million deals with partners and financing, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
And bless them for doing that and being able to do that. But it doesn't have to be on that scale. You can still get into that the rental market and not have that type of level and just have it supplement your income.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, and that's really the greatest thing with this business is you don't have to be big. You don't need to have 50 or 100 properties. You can have a couple of properties and generate some good cash flow and build some wealth that way. And I think what you guys are doing is great.
Jump in and give it a shot and you'll do fine.
I'm curious to hear how you work together. Do you divide your duties or are you working on everything together?
We mostly do it together. When we get the rental property and we're working on it, Mel kind of takes the upper hand of that and just tells me what to do. And then when it comes to, getting it rented out, I usually interview the people. Mel does the billing end of it. So it really is 50-50, and we work well together doing it.
And Mel, I assume this was your idea to get back into it?
Yes, it was. And it didn't take a lot of convincing, though.
Natalie, you were excited about it as soon as Mel said, hey, I want to buy some rental properties. You were totally on board, or did he have to talk you into it a little bit?
No, I was on board with it. The second and third one, I was a little bit nervous about, just because I didn't want to get in over our heads. Mm-hmm. But, so I was a little bit hesitant about those, but he kind of pushed the issue and now I'm glad we did.
Let's talk about how you found your properties. Are you guys just looking for deals on your own or are you working with a realtor?
Usually, again, knowing we want something fairly close as we're going about our daily lives, I kind of keep my eye out. You can usually identify a foreclosed house and kind of know it might be coming up. Two of the houses I had been actually watching for a while before they came up for sale. But yeah, we watch Zillow. We have a realtor that kind of watches for us as well.
Okay. And the properties you're buying, are they mainly foreclosures or are you buying from regular homeowners?
To this point, they've been foreclosures.
Okay. Okay. And so how do you, when you're looking at a property, how do you figure out how much it's going to cost you to fix the property up?
Well, one of the criteria for a house we would ideally buy would be we want something basically a simple house. We don't want a 100-year-old four-story house that has 12 additions on it, things sure. like that. We want kind of a plain Jane type house where it's easy to get to the attic, easy to get to the basement. Everything can be kind of looked at and kind of get a feel for the condition.
Okay. Give me the numbers for one of your recent deals so I can kind of get a gauge for what kind of properties you're looking at.
Okay, the first house we bought was in 2011.
Okay.
And it was listed at $29,900, and we actually offered over that at $32,900, and our offer was taken.
Well, was that
because we knew there was some competition for
okay.
it.
Okay.
And we knew we'd have good returns on it to warrant that offer.
Okay. And then how much did it cost you to fix that place up?
We put the first go round, we put about $8,000 into it. We bought appliances. We moved a bathroom wall, all new windows, refinished hardwood floors, new hot water heater, shower surround, and did some plumbing.
Okay. So you're all in somewhere around $40,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what does that property rent out for?
It's renting right now at $775.
That's great. So you're at the 2% rule. Now, how did you know that that was a good ratio for buying a rental?
I had heard of the 1% rule and was targeting something somewhat more than that, just based on the fact we weren't going to buy too many rentals. We wanted to maximize return, and knowing that there's always some risk, we wanted to make sure it was going to be worth it for us.
Right. Okay. And how has everything worked out? They say a lot of times on those lower priced properties that a lot of times maybe you'll have more maintenance or more issues. Has that been your experience? Like, are there a lot of things that come up? Are you spending a lot of money to fix it up every month?
No, we have very, very little expenses through the year. My wife is knocking on wood here. we basically, before we rent it out, I like to know that everything's in a condition that it could literally be 2 or 3 years before I have to do anything.
That's great.
I replace the water heaters, whether they need it or not. I have the furnaces tuned up. I want to make sure I don't get that call in the middle of the night.
Right. I think that's really smart. Your tenants are going to be happy that, you know, because it's an inconvenience for them if the water heater goes out. And,
sure.
You know, it's a cost and it's an emergency for you. And if you can take care of that up front, I think you're going to have happier tenants. What
sure,
about turnover?
Sure.
Have you seen much turnover?
What we've seen on turnover is, I guess to this point, we've only had one instance where someone had leased for a year and then moved. So at this point, we're actually renewing leases.
Perfect.
And we do some things with the leases as well. We originally start out with a 12 or an 18-month lease.
Okay.
And then we actually incent them to re-sign an 18-month by giving like a $25 off on the rent, just
oh,
so
I
that
like
they
that.
Re-sign. And, you know, I look at it as the $25 a month is minimal compared to being out a month of rent and having a risk of finding a tenant that's not as good. So it's a cheap investment in
Absolutely.
My mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's totally worth it. I mean, if you know, to avoid that turnover cost and the vacancy, to take a $25 discount is really no big deal. And has everyone, I guess everyone's taken you up on that except for that one person that moved out?
Yes. Okay. Yes, to this point.
That's perfect.
So it's pretty awesome to be able to just stop in, have them re-sign for 18 months and carry on like nothing happened.
Do you have them sign a brand new lease or do you just write up an addendum?
We just start with a new one.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So what about from here? Do you see yourself buying more properties or are you happy with the properties you have now?
We're always kind of looking, but again, we aren't going to take just any property. We want something that's going to turn a better than average return to us that's going to build a lot of immediate equity. So we're a little bit maybe overly choosy on that. But again, we're not intending to be the Walmart of rentals here. We just want a few quality, low maintenance type properties that we can benefit from.
I love that strategy. I think that's good. I think a lot of people get caught up that they want to do a deal and they do a deal just to do a deal. And maybe the numbers don't work exactly right, but it sounds like you guys know what you're looking for and I'm sure you're going to find it. So if I'm one of your tenants and I have an issue at the property, who do I call? Do I have both of your cell phone numbers or do I have one person that's my point of contact?
No, they have both of ours.
Okay.
And it just depends on the renter. You know, we have one that mostly texts Mel and we have one that always contacts me. So it just depends on who they're more comfortable with. But generally, if we're working over there or something, we're usually both there.
Okay.
So that they have access to both of us.
Well, tell me about your first property. How did you find it? And was it a single family or a townhouse? What did you buy for the first property?
Yeah, the first property is a single family. All of ours are single families.
Okay.
And that was one of the things we were looking for is the single family. So if we got tired of the rental business, it would be easy to sell to another investor or to someone looking for a single family.
It sounds like your properties are really nice. Are these properties that if you had to, you would feel comfortable living in?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It's one thing that was important to me is never to become a slumlord. We wanted in a neighborhood that we would be willing to live in, and we want the house in the condition that we would want to live in it.
Okay. How about finding tenants? What are you doing to advertise the properties?
The last time we used to put an ad in the paper, and then the last time we just did Craigslist,
okay.
Which was great because it was free to do. We always have people lined up, you know, where we end up having to choose from them.
That's a great spot to be in.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. So there's a few people, you know, that we felt bad about having to turn down, but got said to go with somebody else. And luckily for us, it's worked out.
Do you put lots of pictures on your ad?
Yes, we do a lot of pictures, a very good description, kind of a little bit of a summary of what we're looking for in a tenant. We also give the option that, of course, these are single family houses with a yard. We also give the option that for an ad of $5 a month, we'll do the lawn work.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I like
and
that.
It's not a whole lot of money, but the $25 a month, but it also, I look at it as it gives me a chance to get around the house on a regular basis, be there on a regular basis. And it gives someone who would normally maybe live in an apartment a chance to live in a house and not have to worry about lawn work.
Sure. So you're actually going over and mowing the lawn?
On some of the properties I have, yes.
Okay. Wow. And you don't mind doing that?
I don't mind, really.
Okay. That's good. All right. Now let's say I'm applying to live in one of your properties. I call you up. I take a look at the property. I like it. What's the process from there?
From there, you would fill out an application.
Okay.
What are you
looking for in the application? Like what kind of information do you want?
I'm looking for income, how long they've been at their job, where they're currently living and how long they've lived there. And then I do a criminal background search.
Okay. And how do you have a service that you're using for the background searches?
No, I just check the local county website.
Okay. Okay. And
again, you know, just saving money, not paying for, you know, a company to do
sure.
it for us.
Okay. And on the county website, it'll have if there's any court cases or any kind of convictions, like that's all public information?
All of that plus collections.
Okay.
So if they were taken to court because they haven't paid their bills, that'll show up as well.
Okay. Do you guys charge an application fee?
We do. We charge a $25 application fee.
Okay. That's good. I think that probably weeds out the people that aren't serious. So
right.
that's good. All right. So then you how long do you wait? So if say I applied to, I want to live in the house, I apply, will you process it right away or do you sit on it for a few days to see if you get anything else coming in?
No, I process them right away. And as soon as I feel it's a good one, that's the one.
Okay.
Whether we've gotten one application or 20.
Okay. So if someone's kind of borderline, you're not so sure about them, you'll just wait for someone
yes.
else. Okay. And do you tell them no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I call them and let them know that we've chosen someone else.
And then what other kind of things are you doing to make sure that they're going to be a good tenant? Like you said, you're checking out their previous landlord.
Yes. Yes. I call the previous landlord. I will drive by where they live just to see, you know, how the place is taken care of. Sometimes I look inside their car.
Because, that's a good one. That's good.
Because if they take care of the inside of their car, they're probably going to take care of the house too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Dan, this is part of our routine. Natalie will show them through the house and I'll sneak out to the driveway.
I love it.
And give a full report on the condition of the car.
I love it. You know, that's what's great about a husband and wife team. You guys can team up. That's awesome. I love it. So then
it's very important for us for them to take care of the house.
Sure. Sure. So then what happens from there? So I apply, everything checks out. Do you have a like kind of a set period of time that you want them to move in? Like, say if I'm like, hey, I can't move in for 3 months. Will you guys wait for me or do you want someone that's going to move in right away?
I would, you know, we would prefer, of course, somebody that could move in right away.
Okay.
We haven't been hit with that where it's been a long period of time. The most is about a month.
Okay.
I think that we've waited, but that works out because we'll just do some more things to the house then in the meantime.
Okay. How about when a property is turning over, how much do you think it costs you to turn over a property?
I would say in most cases, of course, we've lost 1 month rent. And by the time we usually paint everything, and usually in that 1 month period too, I try to do at least one kind of, let's say, major project for improvements. You know, if it needs glass block windows in the basement, I'll put those in, or needs a roof or something like that, I'll try and sneak that in as well.
Mel and Natalie, it sounds like you are doing a great job. You have a great portfolio and it sounds like you're really managing things the right way. And I really want to commend you on that. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and telling your story. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. If you like this show, we have a new episode every single Tuesday. Just make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast app you are listening on. Thank you for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.